The first Locke and Smith Award winner in the House was State Representative Cynthia Davis. And she writes pieces every so often, and there was one that she wrote most recently about Speaker John Deal that I thought was interesting. So she's kind enough to join us this morning, and I'm really, really glad that you wrote that, because I had speculated that this is the sort of thing that probably wasn't a massive surprise to everyone, that this outrage, like, oh, I just can't believe this sort of thing could actually happen, that generally when something like this is going on, at least people, they may not be aware of people and places, but they're aware that it's going on. And you touch on that a little bit and how oftentimes these things are used for political purposes. So thanks for being with us. And we kind of just give people a little bit of background and your experience in all of this.
Well, first of all, let me say good morning to Springfield. I love your city. I do.
Why have you haven't been back for a while?
Yeah, I need to have an excuse. It is a very special part of Missouri. Not everybody can live in Springfield. It would really, you move everybody from Kansas City and St. Louis to Springfield, it would ruin the whole climate. But anyway, I just want to say, I have a special fondness in my heart, especially for the representatives who have served the Springfield area. You folks have always done a great job of being good, decent, moral people. And that's one part of your community flavor, is you're very family oriented and you understand right and wrong to a greater degree than some others. I think that's a beautiful thing. And so we all should love justice, and moral indignation is always appropriate when people do things that are wrong. They need to be called out on it. That's a healthy thing for society. We don't want to have elected officials who are sleeping around. That's not good. But I call out the hypocrisy of those who are acting like, oh, this is so terrible. We read a text message and now he's trash. That doesn't happen in the Capitol. I spent 8 years in the Capitol. I was there until I was term limited. And let me assure you, in that time, I saw plenty of people destroy their marriages and fall off the wagon. They started off nice people who just got elected, and next thing you know, they're smoking cigars in the back room with everyone else. It's not about the smoking. It's about what it does to our character. So some people become enamored with the idea that they are so popular now, they are so special, and they fall for it. They get lost in the soup. And just because the opportunity presents itself does not mean everybody has to become part of that culture. I never let that affect me. But I will say there's way more to the story than just one person was texting an intern and now he's trash. That is what you're not seeing. What happened in my observation, he passed right to work. They had this information for 2 weeks before they made it a story. They passed it the day after right to work passed. It's true that if you want to behave in an embarrassing manner, people can blackmail you. But I'm also saying these ethics laws and even the moral upset is designed around, can we stop somebody else's legislative agenda? Because what he has done has really made a lot of people angry. I never once saw the Democrat Party show moral indignation. Let me use the example of Bill Clinton. He did the same and even worse in the Oval Office with an intern. How did he survive to finish his term? The Democrats stood with him. The Democrats said it was no big thing. The Democrats said, well, at least he's accomplishing what he set out to do legislatively, and it hasn't affected his executive performance, so therefore, leave him alone. When you have a political party stand together and say it's not that bad of a deal, then how can the media get any traction? So this is what's gone on, is the media made it a big issue, and that's really what drove him out of office.
We're talking with former state rep Cynthia Davis and the recipient of the first Locke and Smith Foundation Award in the assembly. And you've experienced this yourself. I know that you had it was a different I don't want to say scandal. It wasn't certainly of a texting nature, but you dealt with an obstacle when you were pushing a bill and passed a bill out of the House that would legalize midwives.
We love freedom. We love liberty. We love letting people make their own decisions. Yes, exactly. I'm just a nice lady with a nice husband and my own nice Christian bookstore in O'Fallon with my nice 7 kids. Why would I be the target? Well, yes, you pass laws that have a group of people who get offended. And I walked into the Capitol the Monday after we passed the bill to legalize the midwives. And the first question I got was my assistant wanted me to know there was a phone call from a reporter. And I'm like, sure, I love reporters. Reporters are my friends. That's how we get our message out. And so when I read the message, he wants to talk about the ethics complaint that the Democrats filed against me. I thought it was a joke. I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing about ethics. And this has been, I think maybe State Rep Burleson has pointed this out before. Ethics aren't morals. We hear ethics, and we hear about, you know, oh, we need to change the these ethics rules and so forth. And the outside equates that with being some sort of morality barometer, when in fact ethics are just rules that are made up, and there doesn't necessarily have to be any sort of moral implication to these ethics laws at all.
No, and they really are all gotcha techniques. Both the Republicans and the Democrats love passing laws that can make the other guy look bad. And you might say, well, it cuts both ways. Well, yeah, it does. And it's used both ways. The point is that if we want to make the rules so convoluted that even people, real people, don't even understand what the law is anymore, and if it can be defined different ways depending on who you are, that's a bad law. When I was there, we passed an ethics law, and before the ink was dry, we were having our caucus meeting, and the leadership was explaining not to worry. There are ways to get around this. Everybody calm down. Yeah. We've got our plan. Don't worry. We can still have dinner with the lobbyists. Although I don't believe dinner with the lobbyists is any horrible thing.
Yeah, I agree.
You're promoting communication. I know they're trying to get John Q. Public all upset about, isn't that a bad thing? They're being tainted now. Well, no, you can be tainted in many different ways. It's not just a dinner that's going to corrupt you. By the way, all campaign money is private money. It's not government money. It's not taxpayer money. So it is very difficult to define what's right and wrong when it deals with people spending their private money. But I digress. The main point here is that there are people, and I made my point that when I ran for state senate, I ran because the incumbent senator who I ran against had his own situation, which was even worse than what John Deal did, because he actually did break up his family over it. I hope John Deal can put the pieces back together. I hope his wife and children have enough love in their hearts and that John Deal cares and that they can piece it together again and reconcile and have this just be one ugly chapter. But in my experience, I couldn't get any cooperation from the media. If you can't get the media to report anything, then you can't get the people aware and upset. And that's fine. I got through it. Obviously, I'm in a better place now than if I were in the Senate. I'm happy. Yeah. I get to be doing other things that are important. I still write
So people that are listening right now, they may wonder, all right, well, how do they pick and choose? Because I think a lot of people, particularly listeners to this station, have the sense that the media has a leftist bent to it, very progressive point of view. So it's very easy for them to understand, oh, well, if it's a Republican, they'll cover, but a Democrat, not. But so they hear a story like this conveyed, which I believe is a true and accurate story, about a Republican that and that they won't cover that, though. And so now it gets confusing to people because they're like, no, wait a minute. Now, why will they cover some scandals for Republicans, but other Republicans they won't? How do you explain that, if you would?
Sure, that's an easy one. There are plenty of Republicans in the Capitol right now who are passing Democrat ideology. They're growing government bigger. I just listened to your news report where Todd Richardson, the new speaker, vowed he's going to get that new tax increase passed. That's one of his priorities. Who can't be excited about that? If you were a Democrat, would you not feel that that was wonderful?
Yeah. And I'm glad, you know, I think one of the problems, not to get too far off track here, that the Republican Party has is that it wants to portray itself as lower taxes, smaller government. And when something like this happens, oftentimes they'll say, well, I mean, you can't characterize the entire party by a few individuals. But the problem is you are welcoming those few individuals. You do not say we're going to clean house and make sure that, you know, we are a party of smaller government, lower taxes. In fact, you protect those individuals. And that's where people like me oftentimes get to the point. While we do recognize, you know, we had State Rep. Eric Burleson in here earlier. I think he's one of the good ones who actually does believe in that stuff. But even with those few, if he's not driving the train and the big tax and spend Republicans are, a lot of people go, what's the point?
Well, I like Eric Burleson, too. I served with him. In fact, he attended the Lock and Smith banquet the night I got the award. It was wonderful. We have to all look at not personalities, because we get caught in the, I call it the cult of personality worship. There are too many people who are easily charmed by how fancy your haircut is and how good your suits look, and they can't see anymore what you're actually accomplishing legislatively. So you're right. When they're good people, they are good through and through. You will find a trend that the people who are passing good bills that promote freedom and liberty and smaller government tend to be the best family-oriented, moral, decent people also. And this is generally speaking, but there are many people who, when they want to turn government to a free-for-all, they turn their family into a free-for-all also. It has to do with where you draw the line and where your standards lie.
We're talking with former state rep Cynthia Davis, also a Lock and Smith Foundation winner, the original out of the assembly side. So what do people do? I mean, what do you advise? There are a lot of frustrated people out there like myself, and they see that while we do have some fantastic, even locally, state reps, that there are some Republicans that do push tax increases and increase programs and spending, and they just want to throw their hands up and say, well, what's the difference? What's the point? What's the advice you have?
Well, first of all, never be afraid to question your elected officials. They need that. That makes it healthy. Government was designed for the public to scrutinize and give their feedback and interact with them. I just don't understand why elected officials on any level, including school board and city council, don't want their home numbers known. I'm like, why? You wanted to get elected. If you're going to put your name on the ballot, you better let us know how to contact you. And let's use this as a teachable moment. We should let our elected officials know that we expect them to understand and act in accordance with all the oaths they take, whether it's a wedding vow or your oath of office. Trust and accountability are the primary qualifications to hold any position. So if you get an unfavorable reply or no reply at all, save that for the next campaign season. The office holders who don't deserve to be there are presuming the voters will have a short memory. So let's prove to them that we care more about their moral character than how much power they wield.
Well, listen, we appreciate it. Do you have a site or can people, I know you do some writing, which is, of course, this latest piece, why I wanted to have you on. How can people connect with you?
Go to CynthiaDavis.net. That's CynthiaDavis.net. If you don't know how to spell Cynthia, C-Y-N-T-H-I-A, Davis, Net. You'll find all kinds of neat things there. I do a weekly podcast. We're all about bringing people together and connecting the dots. If we all get on the same page with the same understanding, we can make Missouri a better state.
Cynthia Davis, thank you. It's a pleasure. Please let us know when you are in the Springfield area. We'd love to have you in studio with us.
That's a deal. Thanks, Nick.
All right. You got it. Thank you so very much. Cynthia Davis there, recipient of the first Lock and Smith Foundation Award on the Assembly side and former state rep. I'm Nick Reed.